And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart and co-host, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir. How are you?
I am, of course, in a very wonderful mood, Blake. My New York Knicks won a championship. My Knicks won a championship last night, and it was incredibly surreal. I was in the city, and I went over to the congregation of people that sprawled from MSG all over the surrounding area, which was pretty nuts, but it still doesn't feel real. It still does not feel real. It's been an incredible season. I don't know if you watched the game last night, but it was the hell of a conclusion to a series that they were not even supposed to win.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brunson went off. I mean, it is great for New York City, especially right now with Aaron Judge being out and with all of the craziness that's going on with New York.
Yeah,
I would just say that it's good to have a massive franchise like that win something of relevance, because New York has just, for what it's worth, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it has been a pretty awesome summer. I see the super chat in here from, I see Blake likes soccer all of a sudden. Elks, you don't even know who I am.
Yeah, come on, don't get mad at him.
I'm just saying, though, like, how do you know if I do or don't like soccer? Just because.
Well, I know you don't like soccer, but if the U.S. is playing, you got to root for them. It's just how it works.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
It's just how it works. Why wouldn't I? I mean, I don't see anybody else tweeting about soccer.
I don't know a single thing about that team. I didn't watch the whole game. I'll probably try to watch more of the other games. But yeah, no, I mean, you gotta pretend to know what's going on.
I mean, I do know what's going on, especially in the game, but I'm not, I mean, the United States is going for a World Cup. Why wouldn't I root for them? I don't watch hockey and I did it.
But name a player on the World Cup team. I can name one player, and that's Christian Pulisic. I think that's how you say his name, Christian Pulisic. And that's the only player I can name.
Well, you're just not in tune with the United States.
Name a player then. Name a player then. That's not Pulisic.
That was going to be a player I named. Okay. But, you know, I mean, in all seriousness, you have that going on with the USA in soccer. You have the Men's College World Series that's going on. Yeah. You had the Knicks win a NBA title last night. And, by the way, the White House fight card starts tonight.
Is that only on Paramount Plus?
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because – if you go over to 24/7 Sports, you use the promo code AYS62, but RJ60 at checkout, you know that you can get 60% off of your annual VIP membership to 24/7. I also was told by a little birdie that Paramount Plus comes with it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I heard. So then you got Ilya Topuria, Justin Gaethje, Alex Poatan Pereira going after it tonight versus Cyril Gane. The French versus the Brazilian, which is not really Brazilian. He's more, you know, native Brazilian. Uh-huh. I mean, you got Michael Chandler and Rufio, only on Paramount Plus. Looks like the weather's going to be really bad, though, so that really stinks. But who said the summer months wasn't going to have some sports? July is going to suck, though. July is going to suck.
Well, the fun thing, though, that I kind of prefer this. I like talking season. I like that month of July because it kind of gives you – we've been spending all this time preparing and whatnot, doing our previews. But I like it when media days happen because we can just kind of talk about whatever and we can overreact to various comments from coaches and whatnot. But the month of the next couple of weeks are going to be really fun. It's going to be a blast. Yeah. And I'm going to try and tap into that UFC fight tonight. Got to figure out what my Paramount Plus login is, though.
Well, we're partners with CBS. So you better go and find it. But tell everybody what they can catch, Joe, with our good friends over at 24/7 Sports and what they need to do to get that.
Yeah, go on over to 24/7 Sports and use promo code RJ60, and you can get 60% off of an annual VIP membership. This gives you access across the board to any team sites. It has been one of the best resources for me preparing for shows. It's really crazy. I don't think people really realize if you're a college fan, and you don't have access to team sites, the difference of the level of information that you can find. The ability to do previews has become so much easier because I can read these VIP articles and there is just a ridiculous amount of tidbits in there certain guys that are rising, certain injury situations with various players that might not be public information, all that stuff. Make sure to go on over to 247sports.com and use the code RJ60.
Yes, you can. It's going to be very, very fun when you do so. So we're looking forward to it as well. But you're not here for that. Let's talk a little bit about football. Everyone do us a favor, though. Hit the like and share. Share to all those groups. Well, we're not on Facebook, but subscribe down below if you're on YouTube. Share to Facebook. We greatly appreciate it. If you're watching on the 247 Sports Twitter page, do us a favor and hit that retweet button as well. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. All right, Joe, let's get with it here. We got lots to discuss, but so much. You talked about talking season, and so many different things have been coming up over the last couple of days, whether it be Brendan Sorsby, whether it be the Big 12, or attorney generals arguing with one another. We're going to get into all of that here tonight. Joe, I still got to go after Greg Sankey, as much as I, to some degree, agree with him on some of the things on the bill, on the Protect College Sports Act, even though I agree with some of the things that he has come out with, I got to throw this out there. He made a memo to all of the 16 presidents in the SEC this week stating that if the Protect College Sports Act were to go through, that he anticipates for there to be more lawsuits, not fewer. That kind of going against what NCAA President Charlie Baker is saying. He went through four different topics of why he he actually didn't go through any topics. He gave four reasons. He didn't explain what would bring up more lawsuits in there, however. This just feels like it was another way for Greg Sankey to say that he doesn't want the pill to be passed for the media polling of rights, which he could have just come out and stated. Joe, what are your thoughts on Greg Sankey continuously being vocal against the Protect College Sports Act here?
I'll let you chime in and talk about the lawsuit stuff, because I don't really agree with you on that. That's not my biggest focal point with this. I'll wait until you get to that stuff, because I want to bring up the pooling of media rights. Very few people read through the Protect College Sports Act in its entirety. Actually, I don't even know if it is publicly accessible or there's been an actual way for you to read it outside of the information that's been reported upon by Brandon Marcello, who wrote multiple of these pieces that we're talking about today. One of the things that was not discussed that I found quite interesting, that the Cody Campbell bill found multiple ways that would have really exposed and put the SEC and the Big Ten in really difficult positions. Mm-hmm. It almost to a degree feels deliberate, and it's tied to the pooling of media rights. The one big part with this, and we don't know what the exact language is, but I'm sure that the SEC lawyers and Greg Sankey, when they reviewed it, were not comfortable with the language because it opened the door for possible future litigation from, say, the ACC and the Big 12 and the American Conference, and all those conferences pooled their media rights, even though it states that it's optional, which everybody pointed out when they were trying to crap on Sankey and Petitti for objecting to this. It leaves open the possibility for those conferences to pool their media rights and then turn around and sue the SEC and the Big 10 into forcing them to be a part of the new gigantic media rights deal that they might end up orchestrating collectively. Again, I don't know what that language is, but if they feel insecure about that, that is not something that should be in there. There needs to be deliberate, direct wording that prevents that from coming to fruition. That stuff can't happen. You need to be able to operate and do whatever you want. Pooling of media rights is a good solution, but the SEC and the Big Ten should not be forced into that if they don't feel that it is best for their long-term futures. But one part with this that really, really caught my attention was the fact that the wording allows for that large group of conferences to pool together their own postseason media rights. So all this time that we have spent, not we, but other people, outside people have spent shouting and saying that the SEC and the Big Ten would leave and put together their own super conference postseason between the two of them. This is what sets up for them being forced to do that, because they could create their own version of the college football playoff that excludes the SEC and the Big Ten. And it also had wording in there, Blake, that was essentially making it more difficult for the SEC and the Big Ten to then schedule with whatever that collective grouping of pooled media rights becomes. So I'm behind Sankey on this. What?
Can't happen. It contradicts it literally contradicts the Protect College Sports Act bill. So
right, yes, correct. It would create a different a different monopoly, essentially.
No, but it literally can't happen. Yeah. So if the SEC and Big Ten can't do it, that means that the American, that means that the Big 12, ACC also can't do it. Yeah. It's not specific to the SEC and Big Ten. It never once says SEC and Big Ten can't do X, Y, and Z. It says no super leagues. If you put the ACC, Big 12, American, WAC, Pac-12, Mountain West, you can't do that.
No.
So I agree with what you're saying. I understand his concern in that. I understand that that's a concern. But hold on one second. How is it that everybody believes that you're going to do it, and then Cruz has come out and said, look, it's literally in the bill that no one can do it. So I don't
think he knows his own bill. I don't think Cruz knows his own bill.
I don't think Sankey does. Because it literally says no super leagues. If those conferences join, guess what that's going to be? A super league. Here's what he's really doing. He's pandering to get his points across as to why the SEC doesn't need to do it. He's also pandering for power. Because in here, he also stated in point number 3, we need to go and find who is the actual authority on this. You said in a memo to the 16, it's point 3. You want me to read it?
No, but the authority on, it was very specific to, I believe it was NIL, or it was very specific to something. It wasn't.
You said that any capper system becomes ineffective, you need to have a named authority to set and enforce the market value standards. It's called the College Sports Commission.
Yes. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
It's called the House Settlement Case. So you're worried about something that's already passed. Joe, he came in a memo. This is what the memo states. Okay, just so we're all clear, the memo states that he tells 16 presidents of universities in the SEC that this would cause, the Protect College Sports Act would cause more lawsuits than it would where we currently stand. He didn't name one. So you talk about the super leagues, you talk about the pooling of rights, that's already in the bill that no super leagues can join. They can't form. So you kind of be a little honest here. He's kind of running around in circles to try to create a whole bunch of fluff, in my humble opinion, because you didn't name the one thing that you sent a memo telling presidents what would actually happen. What lawsuit did he say that would arise? Now, he brings up the college football playoff, but literally in the bill, it states for no super leagues. It doesn't exclude the Big Ten and the SEC. It doesn't say everybody else can form a super league besides the SEC and Big Ten conferences. It's not what the bill says. So please explain to me how you said this will create. This is typical Greg Sankey. He says, listen, now we've read the bill. We believe X, Y, and Z will happen. And it's all fluff. It's always all fluff. I don't back what he's saying in reference to you saying there's a whole bunch of lawsuits that would be formed of this, when literally the bill would state that you can't create super leagues. Now,
wait, before we move on from that, can I just clarify that? Because I think that we're off base on this, on the super league.
We're thing, not because, off base. Don't no, tell
because,
me.
Look, wait, I'm not I'm saying not you're off base. Base. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I kind of am saying you're wrong. The bill says that it restricts conferences that generate over $1 billion in revenue from acquiring or merging with $1 million in revenue from acquiring or merging with other conferences. So that language basically allows
Joe, if they combined, they would be over $1 billion of revenue.
No, but it means at the current, before combining. And also the concept that I brought up is not the conferences joining to make a super conference. It is them pooling their media rights together to create their own postseason
media rights thing. But even if it is, and you talk about the $1 billion, collectively they would have $1 billion. It also states in subsection 5 that you can't join super leagues. Would you please read that one? Because it's blatantly in there.
But pooling of media rights is not the same as creating a super league.
Okay, that's not what, but if you bring those conferences together, it's called a super league.
But they're not. It would just be a pooling of media rights. They're not joining together. That's not what was brought up. That's not what was brought up in this.
Then why are they saying that the SEC and Big Ten would do it? Then what's a super league?
Because everybody says that. Everybody says it because everybody wants to shout at the big bad wolf.
Okay, so you can't say that the SEC and Big Ten can do it, and then when the other conferences will join in a line, then it's not a super conference? That's BS.
But it's not the same.
Sure, it's not the same thing, though. It's not the same. You're right. But just because that Walmart does something that Piggly Wiggly doesn't mean that both of them aren't making millions.
But the whole point with this, though, is right now the Big 12, the ACC, and whatever other conferences in the sport, the G6 conferences, do not individually currently generate over $1 billion. They don't. None of them generate over $1 billion at the current moment. If they join eventually...
That is for pulling rights. I'm talking about the playoff. He's saying that they would pull rights to then come together and then about the playoff being disbanded. Okay, sounds good. Guess what? It also states in there that you can't have super leagues in general, with or without the pulling of media rights. It's literally in there. I can find and read subsection 5.
I think that we're mixing multiple things together. That's why I'm frustrated.
Name one thing that he said about the lawsuit that would bring.
The statement that was brought up in the memo that he said was the bill creates a private right of action, which means there is an ability to sue. So that I am not a lawyer. I don't know what that means. The bill creates a private right of action, which is an ability to sue. So it allows for athletes to have a private right of action, which would expose state schools specifically to new forms of litigation. And it would also void pre-dispute arbitration agreements and waivers to keep schools out of court, and also could invalidate agreements that are already agreements in terms of revenue sharing agreements that are already in place. I don't disagree with you. He didn't bring up any examples, but the way that it was framed was that the wording was too vague, that it would allow for a different avenue of litigation, which is why I don't know how I ended up being the person supporting Sankey on this show. I have zero idea how this happened because you can't come out here saying that and
bring out a memo stating there's going to be more lawsuits and give a vague, not even a real one, and it being vague. Give me examples. You know why people keep getting frustrated with Sankey? Give me examples.
The thing is, I don't think we're going to get examples from a memo, because I'm sure that in communications, in meetings with the athletic directors and the presidents, that he's probably been more direct. This is a memo that was acquired by Brandon Marcello, who did a really good job on reporting on this, by the way, over at cbssports.com. So I don't know what we're missing. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to try to interpret it. There's some media members that are former lawyers that probably could do a pretty good job of this.
The Protect College Sports X includes a pathway for all 10 FBS conferences and Notre Dame to pull their television and broadcasting rights. This reproach is designed to spread financial resources, eligibility, actively undercutting the economic incentive from a breakaway or super league, regardless of league or conference. That is subsection 5. So it doesn't state anything there in subsection 5 about who or what a super league would be. It literally just states, if you pull yourself together and form what they would consider a super league, would be a super league. That's subsection 5. Now, in reference to the lawsuit, which is what this all was about, that goes against what Charlie Baker of the NCAA stated. Okay, Joe, I need to start having examples. Okay, I get that you're bringing up situations to presidents and other people why you believe it would happen. Then maybe they do need to put more in there if that is what his concern is. But here's the problem that we sit in. Once something is federally passed, state laws will not supersede what is happening. And I got a quick amendment for that. Everybody coming in for the 28-29 calendar year, this is when it starts. So everything that's passed is passed. So you talk about eligibility that will be different. Does that make Trinidad Chambliss ineligible? A court has already ruled on it. And we will talk about this in the Sorsby situation. Damn, you were right earlier in pre-show. This shit really is kind of all connected here.
Yeah, it's all you the same can't talking go point. Against a,
you would have to then, if you go against Sorsby's temporary injunction or temporary restraining order, TRO, you would have to go back to court, which is what they'll do in an appeal, to then take it down. I mean, I'm sorry, there's going to have to be amendments that these rules don't start getting incentivized or put together until new classes start coming in. It's the only real way around it.
You kind of set the table for the next talking point. Before we do get there, we should get to it, because you're opening the table for a whole separate conversation that is very important for today's show. This was how I interpreted it. I think that initially, the concept of the Protect College Sports Act, I was excited about, because the concepts of it, and just like Sankey put in this memo, they support many of the objectives. The general objectives, the concepts are good for the sport. But the reality of it is Ted Cruz and Cantwell are not as deeply ingrained in the ecosystem of college athletics as they need to be in order to properly write this. And the doofus who has been the one who financially backing this thing, and Cody Campbell, has a vendetta against the Big Ten and the SEC. So he wrote this bill and was in the ear of Ted Cruz that a lot of these things that were put in there were, one, they were shoddy, and two, there were back doors for him to be able to pull stuff off that probably Cruz and Cantwell didn't understand. That is how I'm looking at this. And well, the way that I'm interpreting this, Blake, is that you and I sat through a very, 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 very long contract negotiation. Not going to get into it on what that was. And the reason why it was long was not because we disagreed with what was in the contract.
I blame it all on you. Greg Sankey does? Greg Sankey basically just blames everybody else. Am I doing that right?
That's true. That is true. He does do that. But okay. We were going back and forth over very specific language, because some of the language would have caused future problems, some of which between you and I. So my point with this is that this is all a part of rewriting this thing, is that people need to keep, I'm glad that people are reading this and then giving feedback. That's it.
Can I give you a counteract to that though? We did what we did in less than 5 months. They've had 5 years.
I think that that's a little more complicated than our contract though.
I agree, but you know what, it's been a half a decade.
I think it's a hard thing to fix.
Yeah, okay, that is why I suggested earlier, when was the last time we went live, because we didn't talk about it Friday on CBS Sports Network.
It was Wednesday.
So Wednesday, Joe, I wish they would have passed two separate bills, and I know people didn't want that. But you needed to come up with a separate bill that gave small baseline situations. The reason that the SCORE Act didn't pass was because there wasn't a financial piece to it, right? Like, that was the reason why nobody voted on it. What they should have done was come up with two separate bills at the same time. What are they really fighting over? They're fighting over money, right? This is what the fight is really over. It has nothing to do with 5-for-5 eligibility. It has nothing to do with transfer rule, head coaching leaving. Everybody's in agreement on that. Fair? Name somebody that's having issues with any of that. They haven't gone after the Lane Kiffin rule. They haven't gone after 5-for-5. They haven't gone after eligibility. They haven't gone after transfers. They're all fighting over the money. I'm going to have to need a lawyer, maybe our lawyers, to sit down and explain to me, since you brought it up, explain to me if the word says optional, if a conference has an option to do it, which this is what, as we wrap this part up, this is what I think Greg Sankey was really saying. Go to the end of Brandon Marcello's article. He said, well, it seems as if that the Big Ten and the SEC, if it comes down to it and all these other conferences come together for the college, their own college football playoff and playoff pulling of rights, then us and the Big Ten will play. There's no there's nothing congressional that says that they can't do that right now. Nothing. So what was this memo really about and why was it leaked? In my humble opinion, it was leaked to tell everybody to back off. It's a shot to Brett Yormark. It's a shot to Jim Phillips and a shot to everybody else. Hey, man, listen to me. Don't do this because Joe, what really do you really believe? Joe, let's say tomorrow that the SEC and Big Ten split away from the other P4 conferences and everybody else. Who's still going to run the sport? The SEC and Big Ten will still run the sport.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Yes. And they'll be shit up a paddle. They'll be up Shit's Creek. I mean, they will, because fans are going to continue to care about their team. Bottom line. Because if you have 18 and 16 teams going at it, they don't care. They will not care. So I feel as if that he always has an underhanding agenda, because we've been around Greg Sankey way too long to not speculate that there's an underhanded agenda. You didn't give anything in the memo that really gave specifics as to what would bring lawsuits. And then at the end, you basically threatened every other conference and said, me and Tony have talked, and if y'all do that, we're out.
The one thing I want to echo that you brought up, that I do think that this should have been separate bills, and I've agreed with you on this to a degree. I think that the biggest problem is that the thing that needs to be freaking taken out, that if they want to go figure this out separately, is the stupid pooling of media rights. I keep saying this. That is a whole completely separate issue that people are trying to make out to be. That is the life raft for college sports. Would it help a lot of these low-end programs? Yeah, it would. It absolutely would. But it is too complicated to just throw it in there simply without really in-depth, detailed language to explain all of this, because there is going to be interpretations from everybody. You're right. They're fighting over money. This needs to be separated into two separate things. I agree with you. It's too late now. The cat's kind of, you know, out of the bag with this.
That would be my other question. My only other question, and I'm just going through, I'm not even like giving a take on it. What does the word optional mean in a contract? So what is the SEC really like? What are you really scared over?
Getting sued into being for, because I think that the way that it's probably written, the way that the memo refers to it, is that the other conferences could come together and say, you are costing us money by not pooling with us. And at, you know, per antitrust laws, again, this is how little I know about legal advice, but I think that that's probably how that they could try to frame it.
All of them could come together and try to sue the Big Ten and SEC, and they still won't have the views that either one of them have.
I think that's the point, is that they know that they need the SEC and Big Ten.
Yeah. So sue. I mean, you got big nuts? Greg Sankey, Tony Petitti, y'all got the big nuts, right? Well, then why don't you act like it? You're letting Brett Yormark's crazy ass get up on you?
I don't think it's that. I think it's more so they just don't want to have to deal with that. They don't want to get into a situation where they lose. They don't want to lose a court case and then get into a situation where they can't win it. They're cooked.
I find it very hard to believe that a court system that's been this lax. And with all due respect, well, I also didn't think Brendan Sorsby would be eligible. So what do I know?
Yeah, who knows at this point?
All right. So,
enjoying the World Cup? If you want proper analysis, honest opinions, and plenty of laughs along the way, give The Rest Is Football a listen. Gary Lineker, Alan Shearer, and Micah Richards break down the biggest games, the standout moments, and everything happening on and off the pitch with brilliant guests joining them throughout the tournament. Whether you followed football your whole life or you're just getting into it, they'll help you make sense of the drama, the tactics, the joy, and the heartbreak of the World Cup. Listen to The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of someone who completely backs the College Sports Act, that is NCAA President Charlie Baker. Oh, somebody else I disagree with here. He came out this week in a memo, and CBS and Yahoo reported that in this memo from Charlie Baker, that if the Protect College Sports Act were to have been passed, that they would have had the antitrust to sit Brendan Sorsby down. Can I ask a simple question as we go up on this? Because that's basically what he said. How do you enforce the rules on a temporary restraining order?
No, wait, it was a temporary injunction.
It's a restraining. That's when an injunction is. It's a restraining order.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's a
TRO. Okay. Well, okay. Was there anything else you wanted to add in there before I jump in?
How do you enforce it? Because there's nothing in that bill that states that this bill supersedes what a state judge demands.
The way that I was looking at this is because it's an injunction. It is not a result of the court case. The court case has not been heard yet. I know that we haven't misinterpreted this, but I think a lot of people...
Hold on. The court case has been heard. Are you talking about for Sorsby?
The actual court case doesn't happen until January, next January. No, yes, it does. It doesn't happen until after the college football playoff.
They literally No, that's not...
This is not a real decision on the court case. They're appealing to get in. They're trying to get an expedited.
You can only have an appeal if a decision's come down in court, and that's what Kessler and the NCAA went to. There has been a settlement on him. He was ruled eligible. They went to court. A judge ruled on it.
His court date is February 8th
for appeal.
2027. No, yes. That's not for appeal.
Yes, it is.
Sorsby was granted a temporary injunction that allows him to play for the upcoming season, but it is not a...
The NCAA appealed that injunction, which goes to the Court of Appeals. A 3 out of 5 people panel will go through that, which, by the way, 5 graduated from Texas.
Okay, this is from a Marcello article. The injunction is temporary and allows Sorsby to return to competition while his broader legal challenge against the NCAA continues through the court system. According to online records, a Texas court set February 8th, 2027 as the date for Sorsby's hearing versus the NCAA 2 weeks following the national championship. The date was set on Monday before the NCAA filed its appeal for it. So that was set before the appeal.
No, read the last sentence again.
The date was set on Monday before the NCAA filed its appeal for an expedited hearing. They want an expedited hearing on the case, but they're not.
They want an expedite. I'm telling you, when you go and get a restraining order, hold on. No, I'm dead serious. A judge rules on it and you can file an appeal. That's everywhere.
Yeah, I get that, but the injunction is interpreted to prevent the NCAA from preventing him from playing. It's allowing him to play, and then after the fact, his court case is actually going
to
get
hurt. That goes to the Court of Appeals. A 3-judge panel rules on it. So you go to court for the first time to get a restraining order. Then when you appeal the restraining order, you get a court date.
Okay, but the point here is that his legal process is not done.
No, it's not done. But if you wouldn't have filed an appeal of the ruling, it would have been.
but it's not a ruling. It's an injunction.
A judge, Joe, when you get a restraining order, a judge is ruling until a date is set. So for an example, temporary restraining order. Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. It's temporary until the case is actually heard in court.
Joe, if I went in front of a court right now and filed a restraining order against you, the judge rules how long that temporary restraining order is on. If you file an appeal saying that you don't believe that it should be within 6 months, that it should be gone within sooner, then you have to go through the appeal process. A judge determined on this case of the temporary restraining order, the appeal is for later. Again, we're kind of fighting over the semantics of it, but however, there has been a ruling. The appeal process goes after the fact in February, to your point, that it's a three-judge panel. So if you were to appeal it, then it would go back.
Okay. The point that I'm getting at here that was referenced in Charlie Baker's statement is that because his legal process is not complete, it's not done. There is not a final official court ruling. There is not an actual finalized, this is not done. This is not done. This is still in the legal system. This whole situation is still in the legal system. It would allow for the NCAA, once this becomes federal law, that the NCAA would be allowed to enforce its rules, that they would then be able to shut down the case. Because that judge would not have any good, those judges would not, and his attorneys would not have any grounds to argue in favor of Sorsby. They wouldn't have anything.
They'd have the middle part of the paragraph where it talks about there's a massive gray area. And Marcello's article.
Which article? The one that he recently published?
The one that he recently published. You know what it doesn't talk about, which the judge ruled on?
What?
Damages. In the middle part of Brandon Marcello's article, it talks about damages. If you go back to the judge's initial ruling, which it is a ruling, so if Charlie Baker is stating that this is still ongoing, yes, in theory, the appeal process is still ongoing, but there has been a judgment on the injunction of him being eligible. Now, unless a federal court system comes down and states that a college player cannot sue the NCAA for any other reason, then you might have it. But there is nothing Ed O'Bannon. There was antitrust in for Ed O'Bannon. Ed O'Bannon sued and won. You can sue anybody for anything at any given time. I'm sorry, Charlie Baker's wrong on this. There's nothing in the Protect College Sports Act that limits players from suing. If I go to a state court can hear if I'm trying to sue the NCAA or not, which then sets precedence. That is the Ed O'Bannon case in a nutshell. When antitrust was actually here and amateurism was here. So I'm sorry, I'm not buying that. If it's talked about damages, in the middle part of that article, it talks about...
I'm not finding the exact spot that you're referring to. I'm not sure where that is.
Put Control F and talk about damages. He puts gray area.
I put in damages and gray also did not. The NCAA argues that the Protect College Sports Act would allow the organization to enforce its own gambling-related eligibility rules, even if disputes involving contract or personal injury claims fall into more of a gray area. This was the quote. We believe, this is from the actual memo. We believe the bill gives the NCAA clear authority to restrict student athletes' eligibility based on improper gambling activity. Sorsby challenged his ineligibility under state contract law, arguing that the NCAA broke a promise or agreement. While the bill generally does not override state-level contract or personal injury claims, it does not override any state law claim that directly can... God damn it. Ad popped up in the middle of me reading that. Directly conflicts with the bill, with what the bill allows. Because the bill expressly permits the NCAA to enforce gambling-related eligibility issues, a state court cannot simultaneously order the NCAA to reverse that enforcement. So that's what I'm saying is that now that the NCAA
how do you enforce it?
How do the federal government gives them the power to enforce it?
It's not in a federal government system. It's in a state system. A federal
doesn't the federal government override state?
Yes, but rulings? You're going to have to then sue him in federal court.
They're not going to win in federal court if they do that.
Sounds good, but you have state versus federal, and you're going to have to go to a federal judge and get that same level injunction return. And then guess what? You have a classic old state versus federal where the kid's going to be able to play in the state of Texas, and then he can't play anywhere else.
But that's the whole point with why we need the Protect College Sports Act is because we need needs to go to federal courts. These things need to go to federal courts. It can't go to state courts.
As much as I want this to happen and don't think he should play, you're going to have a federal government overriding state laws. You do remember that we went to war over this. Federal government is not supposed to override state laws. Literally, it's the entire point.
State courts aren't supposed to be able to rule on athlete eligibility. But here we are.
Agree. Now you're in a sticky situation. You can't overrule a state judge's determination on a TRO. It's not plausible. He came down with a ruling. With all due respect, he also quoted damages. Did he not? He said the judge in the ruling, and I'm paraphrasing, came out and stated that you cannot tell me beyond a shadow of a doubt that Brendan Sorsby's damages would not be infringed. That was the reason that we all freaked out. It wasn't about gambling. He didn't say gambling one thing. That judge in the TRO didn't talk about gambling one time. He suspended him two games and said the damages would be the problem. Now, all of a sudden, you got Charlie Baker coming out here saying, well, technically he sued for damages. Well, he won for damages. Name something in the Protect College Sports Act that would give them the right to sue and lose over damages. It's not in there.
I don't know about the damages part of this.
That's exactly why it's in the middle of the article. He sued for damages, won for damages, became eligible on it. I don't like this either. But if we're gonna come down and talk about the facts, a TRO was granted in a state level court. So now you're gonna have to say that there's a situation. I got a plausible reason of what you can do. When you sign that scholarship, you give up and sign an antitrust law too, federally. Federally. They're going to have to make these conferences agree to the federal antitrust law through the NCAA. Why can't we do that?
I don't know. I mean,
you accept to be a part of the NCAA when you sign on the dotted line every single year. Why has no one tried to go to court and sue for that? Let me ask you this question. When teams and universities go into NCAA agreement for championship series, which we have one right now in baseball, why haven't they sued for that? This is kind of crazy, but you can't eligibility. The NCAA has no right to come in and tell a state what they can and can't rule.
But that's why they need the Protect College Sports Act.
That's not what he's saying. He is saying that this federal law would say that a state can't do that. Where?
But okay, you're asking for like the very specific language in the bill. Neither of us read the bill, so we don't know what the exact specific language is.
So he could be making it up.
The concept of the Protect College Sports Act that we've talked about constantly, the main core principle is that the NCAA would be able to actually deliver punishments and enforce its own rules. It is the biggest thing that is hurting the sport right now is that every single time somebody has a rule that they don't like that the NCAA has, they take them to court, and then we go through this whole rigmarole. We just go down the whole BS of us getting pissed off that the courts were the ones who made the decision. From my simple understanding, I have no political science background. I have no legal background or any of these things, which is why I'm slowly starting to I hate talking about this stuff because we're trying to interpret things that are kind of high, like really high level for us. We could be getting like things wrong that we don't even like really know.
I completely agree.
Because it's very, very, very nuanced. I think that at the end of the day, the concept that he's bringing up there is truth to, maybe he retroactively would not be able to shut down Sorsby. But in the future, we're not going to get hearsay like this where you have an athlete who did something wrong that is able to get out of it because of the fact that they just sued the NCAA in a state court. That is the main primary concept with this, is that they can enforce the rules because it no longer can go to a state court. That is, from my interpretation, what has been brought up multiple times that would be prevented in future situations.
Now, here's what you can say. Here's what would have to happen here. You can Google it if you would like. You could type in, can the feds overrule a state TRO? The answer there is going to be yes. Guess what they'd have to do over it? They'd have to go to court. Guess what would happen until that TRO is granted in the state level? He's eligible. That is what Sankey literally just stated. So let's go back to Sankey. Sankey talked about eligibility earlier, did he not? The one thing I agree with him on the one thing that he said, would this grant more lawsuits? He should have dove in on the eligibility part. He didn't. This is where he messed up. Joe, do you realize the federal court system's backed up more than any state in the country? So if the state rules the TRO and then it's got to go to the feds, then what? You know how I know this too? Remember when Greg Sankey talked about this arbitration for College Sports Commission and going to the federal court system and how long it's taking? Remember the arbitration system kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed, and it didn't fall into the 180-day window, and it went 391 days, and he said that was supposed to be prevented from happening, but because of court dates and people not being able to be in certain areas and situations, welcome to the federal court system. They can, to your point, override a TRO. They're going to have to go to court. But when a state comes in here and rules that this dude is eligible, there's nothing you can do about it until you go to that federal court system and win. It's literally what's going on here. It's the same level of process, which is easily Googleable. Googleable. Is that a right word? Can we just create a word? It's Googleable.
No, that's Googleable.
Not Googleable. Okay, Google. Again, I don't see anywhere in there that states that somebody can't sue the NCAA. You had antitrust laws, federal antitrust laws. And guess what Ed O'Bannon did in one single blow? That started in a state court system, by the way. I mean, so you keep saying that. The last time you said something like that, all this shit went to hell.
I think the main focus with this is that
I didn't think we were going down this path, but here we are.
Oh. The College Sports Act needs to make sure that it is this, as bad as the Sorsby situation is, it is good for the fact that it's such an extreme example that it provides context for what the NCAA needs to emphasize in the final version of this. Because right now we're in the amendment phase of the markup phase of this bill. There needs to be really, 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 really direct wording. And I think that Charlie Baker needs to really directly vocalize that to Cruz and say, you have to put in here that we can enforce our rules without getting sued. You have to put that in there. Otherwise, Sorsby, who is, forget like all the things we talk about, the integrity of the game and all those things, it is disgusting that he's allowed to play with what he did. And who knows if somebody doesn't become sick. The biggest fear with all this, Blake, why we constantly talk about it, is the world where a player actually does it to an extreme, like worse to the level of like Kayshon Boutte, where he was betting on himself and then going through other people to bet on himself, was betting on his team.
Allegedly.
Somebody maybe betting again. Maybe someone goes to the extreme of betting against their team. Well, no, wasn't he? He was arrested and then he went through a.
He was found innocent. He was found that, regardless.
Okay. So, separate
point.
But an example like that.
It changed all Louisiana state laws. We can't do prop bets here anymore, by the way. It's called the Kayshon Boutte law. Not a joke.
Should be a thing, anyways. But it's to this point that we just had a Clemson player who was a JUCO player. His court ruling went in favor of him after the Sorsby thing, and they referenced Sorsby. They said they referenced the court case like a lot of court cases do. They referenced NCAA versus Sorsby. So if this Sorsby, and this is what no Texas Tech person wants to acknowledge or pay attention to, if we get into the situation, Blake, where somebody does it to a much larger extreme than what Sorsby did, like the example that I just pushed out there of they bet on themselves while they were playing in the game, they bet against their team and they did something wrong. There is now the possibility for a state court in a local area to reference the Sorsby situation and say, well, in NCAA versus Sorsby, he had a gambling addiction. We checked him in immediately after the investigation started, or he was checked in immediately after it started to treatment, and it would really be detrimental to his future career. He's a young man. It would be best for him if he got on the field. When that happens, and it is so much more extreme than the Sorsby situation, I hope that Texas Tech fans realize why we're yelling about this so much. But it comes back to the main point I'm bringing this all up for, Blake, that the NCAA needs a very strict, detailed language in the Protect College Sports Act. Otherwise, we're going to get worse and worse and worse and worse situations.
Well, he said it would have provided it for him, and we're saying we need to add more. So, no.
Get as direct as possible.
I mean, I'm with you. All right, speaking of Sorsby.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh boy. The Big 12 had a meeting with their presidents and athletic directors over the past week. Joe, the majority, pretty much all of the Big 12 ADs and presidents are calling for the Big 12 to do something and enforce sanctions on Texas Tech. Now, can I ask a simple question?
Sure.
How can you enforce sanctions on Texas Tech before the kids even played? You want to enforce sanctions on Texas Tech on Brendan Sorsby's eligibility. He hasn't played a game. What rule have they broken? That's like me getting in a cop car and pulling you over before you even go to the bar and saying, I'm going to go ahead and arrest you for a DWI because I know that you're going to a bar and you're going to be drinking and you're going to drive home. So, do I believe that there should be some forms of sanctions on them? Yes. But the Texas AD Ken Paxton, or AG Ken Paxton, came out and said, hey, Big 12, go ahead and hit sanctions with them. We're going to sue the ever-living crap out of you. So, Joe, I know that these presidents and ADs are wanting the Big 12, and I actually agree with them, just so we're on the same page. I hope something does come from Texas Tech, because you can't convince me that they're not backing all of this, Cody Campbell and all this. I think they need to launch an investigation. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I just start off by asking the simple question. How in the world does the Big 12 sanction Texas Tech when the kid hasn't even played a snap yet?
I mean, Joe,
I'm dead serious. Please tell me, how are you going to hit somebody without a kid even playing? Texas Tech didn't sue.
I think that the way that would fundamentally work is that they would threaten to sanction them if stepped onto the field. Now, I think that the biggest part with this, I think it is a bunch of posturing by Texas Tech, the Attorney General. They're not as serious as they sound about threatening these lawsuits. Kessler as well, who sent a letter too. I was really intrigued that the Oklahoma Attorney General also came in swinging and said that he is urging them to sanction Texas Tech, the Big 12, and would assist in any countermeasure. I don't know how that works. I have no idea how that works when it gets state to state, and that there is some sort of a multi-state battle going on here. I mean, theoretically, could you have?
He said he'd give his office over to the Big 12 for assistance. That was what he said. How he would get involved. He didn't say they would sue him. He said that they would get their office involved to help fight.
Yes. Right. What I'm wondering though is, theoretically, could the attorney generals of all these other states step in and say, "Fine, if Sorsby's going to play, he plays in the state of Texas. We're not going to allow for him to play in all these other states."
I got a great theory that you brought up last week. You were like, "Why doesn't this?" You said on Wednesday last week, "Why doesn't the states of all these other Big 12 teams do something?" I got a great idea. Guess what most stadiums in the Big 12 are? Public areas and public arenas. Guess what you can do? The funniest thing of all. Get a TRO on Brendan Sorsby for the week of the game where he can't be there. He can't be within 500 feet of the stadium. That will make him ineligible. Guess what the state can do? Do that. Guess what you can't do right now? You mean to tell me that Brendan Sorsby and Jeff Kessler can be at 10 places at once when this is all going on?
No, I think that they can pencil F them. That's one of my favorite words. I think that they seriously can.
That's so brutal. That's such a brutal saying that you just had. Here's what I think about this.
One of my coaches used to say that to me all the time. Sorry, continue.
One of my coaches told me he was going to buy a dog, call it Rufino, so he can kick the ever-living crap out of it.
I used to, shout out to Donnie, he said he would pencil F me, which means it's where you bury someone in paperwork, basically, or like, you know, he'd write me up. That was basically what he was saying, which I'm like, whatever that means. But sorry, continue.
Stop using the word sanctions. Stop saying that you want to sanction Texas Tech. Start saying that you're going to investigate Texas Tech. Because I feel like that's different. Call for an investigation. Is it anywhere in the bylaws of the Big 12 and Texas Tech that a Board of Regents head can supply in a pay-for-play scheme? Joe, they have this on a silver platter. The Big 12 has this on a silver platter. Cody Campbell gave it to them. So if Brett Yormark is smart, he would go to the interview on Outkick that your good buddy Sean produces, where Cody Campbell came out and stated, if Brendan Sorsby is eligible to play, then yes, I'm going to give him his $5 million. That's pay-for-play. Stop talking about sanctions. Start investigating. Why can't these conferences investigate again?
I don't know how they're...
Okay, so no, they can enforce. The SEC literally does show causes. Ask Jeremy Pruitt. So I asked this simple question. Why wouldn't you investigate them? Don't come out and say that you're going to sanction them without an investigation. Because at the current moment, what did Texas Tech do? Now, it's like the whole Al Capone bootlegging thing. Everybody knows that Al Capone was bootlegging alcohol in the 20s. He didn't go to jail for bootlegging. He went to jail for tax invasion. So what I'm saying here is, investigate the piss out of them. Find something on Cody Campbell because you know that that's where this is coming from, and hit them with it. I mean,
well,
I agree that something has got to happen, and Yormark's got to put his foot down, Joe. But yeah. I asked the question again that I led this off to, and I ask you yet again: how do you sanction Texas Tech for something that technically hasn't happened yet?
I wonder if I get what you're saying. I wonder if we're kind of getting caught up in the semantic of how does that work? Maybe the sanction comes after he plays in his first game. Like I'm sure that that's what they're talking about. I give Yormark credit, by the way, of saying that the sentiment remained the same from the athletic directors, and he emphasized that, and that all options are on the table. If you can't bench Brendan Sorsby and you can't sanction Texas Tech, if that doesn't come to fruition, could you theoretically suspend, because the Big Ten did this with Harbaugh, could you theoretically suspend Joey McGuire as like a counterpunch? I don't know. You'd have to your point, investigate him. Find something. Find something tied to this to prove that there is something to more, you know, this is not as nuanced as that they just won the court case and they can move forward. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. They'd have to get,
I'm not saying you need to dig into him and find something that he bad that he did, but make something up that is connected to Sorsby for something along the lines of, you know, him playing is cheating. Sorsby playing is cheating. He is ineligible. He's not supposed to be eligible. He's not supposed to be playing. A court is what is allowing for him to be on the field.
Agreed.
Some sort of suspension to Joey McGuire for cheating. I don't know what that is. I don't know the bylaws. I am not your mark. But could that be the counter to this of benching Joey McGuire in order to take some sort of penalty in order to handicap them this upcoming year when you can't legally and you would be putting yourself on the line for a $200 million liability, according to the Texas AG, instead of going down that rabbit hole, could they find some sort of a way to penalize them by going after McGuire instead?
Got another one. Why doesn't your mark say that he is actively suspended for betting on games while at Cincinnati?
That's well, but I don't think that because the court ruling states that he's allowed to play regardless of that.
No. It never once stated that it never stated anything about gambling. It said that his damages would be infringed upon. It never said once anything about the Big 12 bylaws being violated. If the Big 12 brought a lawsuit and said, no, these are our bylaws. When you sign up to play in the Big 12, this is what you agree upon, and you didn't go upon those rules, then what?
The Big 12 have those bylaws, or do they just rely upon the NCAA having them?
Great question. I don't know. Great question. I do not know. I would assume that they do.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
Your Mark's decision on this is either going to keep him hired or get him fired.
There, I think that there is a legitimacy to that aspect of this, that however he handles this, and I think that even if he gets punched in the mouth and gets caught up in litigation, I think that he has to issue some sort of sanction, some sort of punishment, just for the principle to prove that he is behind his fellow athletic directors and presidents, that he supports them, and his belief is that, hey, no matter what, we have to do what's right for the game. You're right. This could get him fired.
Oh, it's going to get him fired. I mean, you have 16 presidents that want sanctions. What happens when you don't do it? I mean,
yeah,
they can vote him out tomorrow. If Brennan Sorsby had a conscience, he wouldn't play. If he had a conscience, he wouldn't play.
Well, that's a whole separate.
You know what else? I would also investigate Jeffrey Kessler.
Do they have? I don't know if they have the jurisdiction to do that.
Let me tell you. You mean to tell me? Hold on, just a second. Stay with me before we get out of here. You mean to tell me that Jeffrey Kessler has not been in conversations with Cody Campbell about the judge and things that were going on? Do you mean to tell me that Jeffrey Kessler does not have conversations with Cody Campbell about Ken Paxton, which, by the way, Cody Campbell gave $3 million worth of contributions to in his last political election? You mean to tell me that Jeffrey Kessler, who got paid to do this, by the way, Brennan Sorsby has not seen a dime per Cody Campbell? What collusion is going on there? Because the way that I understand these kinds of investigations, you don't really need anything to open up an investigation on somebody or on a team.
But he doesn't have any affiliation with.
He has an affiliation with Cody Campbell.
What penalty do you give to Jeffrey Kessler? What penalty do you give to Jeffrey Kessler? He's not a college.
You mean to tell me that Jeffrey Kessler is not an agent to people that are in the Big 12, and that you couldn't file a sanction on him stating that nobody can use him as an agent in the Big 12?
Well, he's not an agent. He's a lawyer, but I don't.
Joe, where's he work? Better be careful to find out that his law firm does or doesn't represent players, because I'm going to tell you right now, they do.
Well, they do, but not, but they don't rep them in. I think we're going down a rabbit hole that just, I don't think that
I'm going after all them Rudy Poos.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. All right. One super chat before we get out of here. You think LSU will blow out Clemson?
They better.
I don't know if they'll blow them out. You know, like, I don't know if they'll blow them out. Here's what I'll say, though, in my humble opinion, regardless of the outcome, I think Baton Rouge is going to be – Joe, if you've I know you've never been. I think it's going to be the loudest it's been since Bama 2022. I think it's going to be that chaotic.
Depending on that would be nuts.
Joe, it sold out the week after Lane Kiffin got hired. What do you mean?
I think that you have to blow out Clemson. I'm just going to say that. You have to blow out Clemson. Clemson is a dying horse, and you are a more talented team at home.
I actually agree with you. All right. Is that all that we have here?
Yeah.
Sounds good. I don't like these. I can't wait till we actually start talking about games. This is getting completely exhausting to me. All right. Yeah. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.
Are you ready, kids? The SpongeBob SquarePants merchandise is here. And we're talking officially licensed, as seen on apparel and products at the official Paramount shop. Featuring inclusive sizing and gear for fans of all ages. From premium apparel to must-have accessories, head to paramountshop.com/SpongeBob and use code PODCAST20 to get 20% off. That's PODCAST20 at paramountshop.com/SpongeBob. Don't be a Squidward. Grab your gear today.